from God's word and to learn of God from it. So we're going to be reading Psalm 78, and we're actually reading the first 8 verses. Only half of it's there. It'll come. Don't panic. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
Thanks, Paul. My name is Simon, if we haven't met. I normally attend the afternoon services, so I go to 4:15 with my family and I look after church at 6. So it's great to be here, but it always kind of feels like I'm some sort of special guest, and I always feel like I just need to say I do work here sometimes, just not in the morning services. Now, today's passage, it's not really that difficult to understand. The challenge is actually involved in putting it into practice. So it's quite easy to understand. The hard thing is actually doing what it says. So why don't we pray that God would help us to do what it says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the great gift that it is to us. Father, we do pray that we would understand what your word is saying. Help us to do that. But Father, I guess that the challenge might be more for us not to understand it, but to put it into practice. Please help us to do that. Father, please help us to tell the next generation about your son, Jesus. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, recently we had the Kids Holiday Club here, and it was fantastic. It's such a great event. Now, I just have someone, the clicker people, I need to be in the clicker. Yes, awesome. Is that going to continue to work? Let me just check it's going to continue to work. Yes, thank you. Awesome, sorry about that. Anyway, we had the Kids Holiday Club. It's such a great event. And one of the things I really love about the Kids Holiday Club is that everyone is working together for a common purpose. From the cheeky cooks who do such a great job of making all the sandwiches, the egg sandwiches, all the ham sandwiches, and making the fairy bread, just kind of sprinkling it out and seeing, you know, they do such a great job of that, to the cleaner men and cleaner women who actually kind of clean the whole time, and they even clean the toilets when no one is even watching them. You wouldn't even know they'd been there, but they're doing such a great job. To the craft people who are smart enough to work out how to turn an egg carton into a camel. Blows my mind. And to the kind of the stage production up here that Penny has a big part of it, you know, it's amazing. To the drama people who kind of make it really interesting and hold their cool even when the smoke machine gets stuck on and there's kind of smoke billowing out everywhere. To the data and sound people who only ever really get criticism for when it doesn't work, so thank you to those people who serve in that way. To the small group leaders who kind of, they've got the hardest job, I reckon. They're with the kids all the time, so they don't even get a break. So they do a fantastic job. To the Keyverse people who make that really interesting. To the Outside Games people who just kind of spend their time all day outside sweating. And Trevor, he was kind of the chief of that this year. And he had to remove, with a shovel, a gift left by a dog. Colin would call it a woofer's egg. I got Trev the shovel, but he had to do the real work. Anyway, so many different people from all walks of life, from all ages of life, all working together. But we're not all kind of just working together to give the kids a good time or to give the parents a break as much as they might need or want that, or even to be a positive force in the community. Everyone is working together to tell the next generation the wonderful deeds of the Lord. Everyone is working together to tell the next generation about Jesus. It really is a wonderful week. It really is a wonderful thing. And the great thing is, that is actually what we're meant to be doing. Now, the passage we're looking at today, Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8, it clearly tells us that we should tell the next generation about Jesus so that they can trust in him and live for him. That's one of the things that we're actually meant to be doing as God's people. That's actually our responsibility. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Psalm 78. Now, our first point as we kind of dig into the psalm is that we should tell the next generation about Jesus. Now, we find out in verse 1 that this psalm is a maskil of Asaph. Now, Asaph is potentially one of David's choir leaders, and no one really knows what the term maskil means. But it most likely means that this psalm is a wisdom psalm. And so as the listener listens to the history of Israel, they're meant to learn from it. They're meant to tell the next generation. Well, let me read to you from verses 1 to 3. It says this: "A maskil of Asaph, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us." Asaph is basically saying to God's Old Testament people, he's saying to them, listen to me. I'm going to utter wisdom to you, things you already know, things passed on to you from your parents and your grandparents. I'm going to talk about these things so that we don't, by mistake, hide them from the next generation. Because we don't want to do that. We want to make sure we tell the next generation about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And this is what he says in verse 4. He says, "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." Asaph, as a teacher of wisdom here, he kind of says to the people listening to him, most likely in a public space, maybe in the temple, he's saying, you know what? Let's not hide the wonderful things that God has done in the past. Let's not hide that from the next generation. Let's actually tell them the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, of his wonder and power. Now, as you read on in the psalm, it tends to concentrate its time between Israel being rescued from Egypt and David becoming king. And one of the big things that it highlights in this is the way that God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt and the way that he cares for them in the desert. And so if you want to know more about that, you can go to the book of Exodus and read all about that. It is really kind of quite a wonderful story. But the Lord, the God of creation, he has done many praiseworthy deeds. And those praiseworthy deeds, they will be passed on to the next generation. Asaph and the people listening to him, they won't hide these stories from the next generation. Well, one of the things that tends to happen when you go on holidays is that you catch up with family members and you catch up with old friends and you have a lot of fun, basically. Hopefully that's what happens when you go on holidays. But one of the things that happens when I go on holidays is often my kids find out stories about me when I was a kid. Now, they kind of find that out from their friends. My friends delight in telling those stories. My sister delights in telling those stories to my kids and telling them, you know what, your dad was like this. And so my kids find out all sorts of stuff about me, but maybe it's stuff they already kind of knew. But, you know, they find out that I used to be a bogan. You know, I still am. My first car was a yellow Holden Commodore from a place called Gympie or Gympie, 4-speed manual, had a big red Holden Motorsport sticker on the back. And I used to wash it every day after school. And I used to kind of get that white, you know, the white writing pen and do it on the wheel. So it kind of looked like Goodyear on the wheels. So it looked like a racing car. Then I put the kind of spray on it. And then when I'd go to the shops, I'd just kind of pause. Like when you kind of park it, you'd walk away from it, but you'd just kind of stop every now and then just look back and go, yeah, no, it's pretty good. I love my Holden Commodore, 1984 VH Commodore. If I had it today, it'd be actually worth a bit of money. My kids wish I had it still, but it's probably rusting in some farmer's paddock somewhere now. Anyway, I find that stuff out about me, but my sister also kind of likes to point out to my kids that I was never actually very good at cleaning my room. I've never been good at that. And in high school, and particularly in year 11 and 12, I used to work a lot of hours at Coles, about 20 hours a week. And I used to get paid a fair bit of money to do that. And when my mum would say to me, "Hey, Simon, you should really clean your room," I'd say, "Hey, Mum, how about I pay you to do that?" And we worked out a good deal, and I would pay her to do that. You know, it was a good hourly rate for her. I don't think it set me up for success in life, though. it's a bit of a failure. My room is always messy, and my office is actually messy, but my wife came down and helped me clean it up recently, which is a wonderful thing. Anyway, I don't hide these stories from my children. Sometimes you kind of think, oh, I'd rather that one not come out, but you know what? I'm happy for them to come out to them. But I don't hide these silly stories from my kids. Well, then I should never hide the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord from my children. See, whether they hear the crazy stories about me as a child, who really cares, to be honest? But what does matter is if they hear the praiseworthy deeds of God, and specifically what God has done for them through Jesus. I need to pass that information on so that my kids believe in Jesus. We need to do everything we can to pass on the wonderful news of Jesus to the next generation. That's the most important thing that we can pass on. It's not our love of football or fishing. It's not our love of chess or knitting. It's not our love of mountain biking or camping or water sports. It's not the best education. It's not the best morals. It's not a hard copy of the Barefoot Investor. It's not the best political party to vote for. You know, the most important thing that we can pass on to the next generation is the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, so that they can trust in him and live for him. And that's basically what the writer of this psalm, what Asaph says next. So in the next few verses, this passage is basically telling us to tell the next generation about Jesus so that they can live for him, so that they can trust in him. Well, pick up the text with me again from verse 5. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. See, God makes sure his rules to his Old Testament people Israel are really clear. He had them written down for them. And there's a clear command for parents to teach their children the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. They're actually commanded to tell the next generation so that they can know them. And so, in fact, so that the next generation can pass them on to the generation that follows them. See, God's Old Testament people were to look for every opportunity to tell the next generation. When they're at home, kind of just sitting around watching TV, when they're out walking, maybe doing park run, when they go to sleep, when they wake up, when they put stuff up around their houses, that'd make the most of every opportunity to tell the next generation about the praiseworthy deeds of God. And they're to do this, as verse 7 says, so the next generation actually trust in God and do not forget his deeds and keep his commands. See, that's the goal of passing on the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. It's so that the next generation actually trust in God and live for him. Because you know what? Lots of God's Old Testament people didn't actually trust in God and live for him. And you can see that in verse 8. Have a look with me there. That they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. See, the rest of this psalm outlines how God continues to rescue his people, but how his people continue to rebel against him. It's just kind of the same story over and over and over again. The psalm is meant to help the hearer to pass on the good news so that future generations don't turn their backs on God, but trust in him. And friends, for us, we are to tell the next generation the wonderful ways that God has rescued his people countless times in the Old Testament. But we need to focus on the biggest way that God has rescued his people. And that is by sending his one and only son, Jesus, into the world to die on the cross and to rise again, to give us forgiveness and eternal life. We need to tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. We need to tell them about Jesus. Now, during the week, I did a bit of a Google search. I was searching for what we could pass on to the next generation, and I came across this site that gave me 5 key life lessons that we could pass on to those who follow us to the next generation. The first one was overcoming hardship and tragedy. Now, we all know that life is hard and messy and complicated, so we want our kids to be resilient. That's probably the word, the catchphrase of the day, resilience. We want our kids to be like that, and world is complex, so that is good. Number two, the importance of the love of family. We want to teach our kids to love their families well, and that's really important. It is really important to love and care for your family. The third one, enterprising pursuits. You want to teach your kids to be entrepreneurial, because that's where the big bucks are made, right? So Richard Branson, his mum, when he was like 6 years old, when he was being naughty in the car and they were driving to grandma's, his mum would just say, get out and walk, find your own way there. He talks about how that helped him to build the empire of the Virgin Group and all that sort of stuff. Now, you want to teach your kids to be entrepreneurial so they make lots and lots of cash for you. Did I say that loud? Yes, I did. Anyway, formula. You want to pass on the formula for parenting. You know, because even though we all know that none of us are perfect parents, there's something that we must do right. And so the stuff that we do right, we do want to pass that on to the next generation. And the last thing we want to pass on to the next generation is our family genetics, understanding your family genetics. So a couple of years ago, I found out that my mum is Aboriginal. And so it's kind of like, well, what does that mean for us? So we're trying to process that. But for the rest of my family, we're kind of thinking, you know, if you're a male in my kind of family, you're most likely to have like genetic high blood pressure, a stroke at 50, a heart attack at 65. That's kind of what your future holds. And so I just said to the boys, look, just enjoy life because it might be over soon. I don't exactly say that, but you know, like, make sure you trust in Jesus and then just enjoy it. Anyway. Those things might be really helpful to pass on to your children. You might have lots of other things you want to pass on to your children. Like for me, when it comes to kind of getting married, if you want to get married, they must choose someone who loves Jesus and loves camping. That's really important. And I'll tell you why afterwards if you want to know anything about that. Anyway, but there's lots of things that might be important. But the most important thing that we want to pass on to our children, to the next generation, is the wonderful news of Jesus. It is the single most important thing that we can pass on. And I think as a church, we do get the importance of passing the gospel on to the next generation, which is really wonderful. And as a church, we invest a lot of money, like $100,000 a year in wages, in children's ministry. And that's if you combine Sarah and Kelly's wages. That's a lot of money. And if you chuck my money in there, in terms of the money that the church pays me to look after youth ministry and some next generation stuff, it's probably like $150,000 a year. And then we have like a $9,000 budget, so it's like $160,000 a year. That's a lot of money being poured into next generation ministries. This is something that we take really seriously here at church. And you know what? We actually have at this church more next generation ministries than any other Presbyterian church in Queensland. We have about 140 people directly or indirectly involved in next generation ministries. And it's not just parents who are passing on the gospel to the next generation. There are lots of people involved in that. We have teenagers, young adults, young married couples, single folk, couples with kids, couples without kids, couples with young kids, couples with older kids. We have people older than the age of 50 serving in next generation ministries. Imagine that. That's a crazy, isn't it? I'm being a bit sarcastic there, of course. But, you know, it's wonderful that there's all the different ages are serving to make sure the gospel goes to the next generation. See, maybe whether we knew it or not, as a church, I think we're doing a great job of passing the gospel on to the next generation, of fulfilling the command from Psalm 78. That's right, we can probably, if your arm can reach, you can probably give yourself a pat on the back if you can actually do that. But before we get too excited, this is actually our responsibility. And so we need to keep asking the question, are we doing enough? See, as we grow as a church, if we don't continue to invest in the next generation area, well, then we've probably dropped the ball. Once you lose a generation, the writing is on the wall for that church. It will decline and die a slow, painful death unless dramatic things happen. Well, friends, my wife Deb and I often talk about how good it is to have our children here at this church. There are lots of ministers serving around the state, And pretty much in the kids and youth ministries, it's just their kids or maybe a couple of others. But here at this church, we have a ministry pretty much for every age group in the next generation category. And there's lots of kids in those ministries. So our kids have lots and lots of friends in the ministries that they go to. And it really is wonderful. If you're a parent here at Willows, you are actually really blessed. You are actually in a very unique situation. But don't let that be a justification for you to get out of passing the gospel onto your children. This doesn't get you out of a job. In fact, you are still primarily responsible to pass the gospel onto your children. And you know what? The Bible kind of says that you'll be held accountable for how you go with that. It's your job to read the Bible and pray and to model living for Jesus to your children. It's your job to model gathering with God's people each week as a priority. It's your job to make sure that your kids know that Jesus was a real historical guy who was born, who lived a life, who died on the cross, who rose again, who's now like the risen king. Friends, if you have questions about how to pass the gospel on to the next generation, to your children, please have a chat with Sarah or myself or with Chris. We would love to talk to you. And today we've put up the back some kids' resources, some kids' Bibles. If you want to have a look through them, if you want to order one, there's a bit of an order list up there, you can do that. Or if you've got kids who've just kind of finished kids' Bible time, they're going into youth now, and that means they won't kind of be kind of going out during the sermon. There's some studies up the back for those kids as well. And there's actually some parents' answers as well. So you can cheat parents. It's like maths. You can cheat. You can read ahead. But if we want to help you, we want to resource you, we want to partner with you, but primarily it's your responsibility, but we want to have a great partnership with you as you do that. Friends, we are doing a great job, I think, here with passing the gospel on to the next generation, but we always want to keep thinking, are we doing enough? And maybe you want to ask yourself the question individually, are you passing the gospel on to the next generation? How are you involved in that? Sarah and myself, we always need more leaders. We never, ever have enough leaders. If you'd like to be part of a next generation ministry, please talk to us. There's also lots of other ways to be involved as well. But friends, why don't we pray that we do a great job of passing the gospel on to the next generation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, thank you for the wonderful gospel. Thank you that Jesus died and rose again. Thanks that a sinner like me can be forgiven and have sure hope, have a restored relationship with you. Father, please help us to pass that information on to the next generation. Help us to see that as the most important thing that we can do for them. Father, please help us to be good at that. Help us to continue to invest in those who follow us. And Father, please help us with this. And please help us to help each other. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing a song called The Hymn of the Saviour. This